So I'm talking about the simulation of neutron star neutron binaries. Luis asked me to talk about the also on the neutron star black hole, but I have not working worked on the black hole neutron star, and also he talked about his result a little bit yesterday. So I focus only on the neutron star binary today. Let me remind you the reason why we perform a simulation for merger of two neutron stars. I think there are three purposes in this work. First purpose is to clarify gravitational waveforms. Evolution of binary neutron stars is divided into two phases. One phase is in spiral phase, in which we know the waveform very accurately using the post-Newtonian approximation and point particle approximation. But in the merger phase, these approximations break down, so we need to perform a simulation in general relativity. So this means that it's necessary to perform a numerical relativity. And probably frequency of gravitational waves in the merger phase is fairly high, so I mean that it's probably larger frequency of gravitational wave in the merger phase is larger than 1 kHz or something like that. So this means that it's probably for initial arrival, it's very difficult to detect such a waveform. But it may be a good source for future interferometers or resonant mass detectors. So it's very interesting to clarify such a waveform. And second purpose is to compute a fraction disk mass in the case of formation of black hole. According to the standard theory of black hole, gamma ray burst, central range of it is composed of black hole and disk. And merger of neutron stars is one likely candidate to make such system. But it's not clear if disk is really formed around the black hole, so we need a simulation. And the third purpose is academic. So this one. So we don't know which the final product is in the merger of two neutron stars. So we naively expect that the black hole will be formed because the total mass of our system is about 2.8 solar mass. So it's much larger than the typical maximum mass of spherical neutron stars. But in the merged object will be very rapidly rotating and differentially rotating. In such case, maximum mass may be larger than three solar mass. So it, of course, it depends on this equation of Sales. But anyway, so it may be possible to support such a large mass by the centrifugal force. So it's very interesting to ask if which is home. So there are several groups in the world who are working in the general relativistic simulation of neutron star binary. For example, Mark Miller and Wim Sweyn is working in this project for many years. And Illinois group just started this project last year. And Euro network group, I'm not sure who are working in this network, but the Euro network will start this project. And in Japan, so we have two groups. So one is the Ohara Nakamura group, but they are not very active now. And the other is my group. And fortunately, so these group use a very similar formulation and implementation now. So I'll review the current status of implementation for neutron star binary simulation based on our implementation. And first of all, let me remind you the necessities in the simulation by binary neutron stars. We need these implementations, Einstein's equation solver, and we need to fix the appropriate gauge condition, and we need to prepare general relativistic hydrodynamic equation solver, and we need a realistic initial condition in general relativity, and we need to extract the gravitational wave. Also, to perform such a large-scale simulation, we need to have some powerful supercomputer. And in some case of merger of neutron stars, black hole is finally formed. So in such case, we need to prepare a special technique for handling black holes. These are necessities for simulation of binary neutron stars. And let me talk about the current status separately. First is Einstein's evolution equation solver. So many groups now using BSS and formalism. So, and yesterday, so there are a couple of talks on this topic, so I'll skip this one. Anyway, so many, so all this group use this formalism. So, and the second topic is the spatial gauge conditions. We have believed that for many years, minimal distortion type gauge condition is a unique solution for simulation of binaries. But probably this is a good, very good for from the point of view of the physics or relativity. But to impose this gauge condition, we need to solve the vector elliptic type equation like this. It's very time consuming. So new trend is to adopt a dynamical gauge condition. So proposed by Miguel and Leon Max recently. In this gauge condition, so we make something like a hyperbolic equation for shift vector. So in this case, beta dot equal F, and F is something like a divergence of gamma J, and F dot equal this elliptic type of beta. So this means that beta constitutes dynamical hyperbolic equations. And recently, we have found that this type of gauge condition works very well. And of course, CPU time is much, much smaller than this condition. So now, many groups are using this one. And the slicing condition, is a maximum slicing condition, it's a traditional one. And of course, so it may be possible to use a dynamical slicing condition. Anyway, so the situation is very similar to this one. So in this case, we need to solve the elliptic type equation. In this case, we need to solve the elliptic type equation. In this case, so we only need to solve the hyperbolic type equation. In this case, we only need to solve the hyperbolic type equation. This is an example of numerical results. In this simulation, I performed the evolution of a rotating star, compact rotating star, in a dynamical gauge condition. So here, so you can see that in this case, central lapse is about 0.6. So this means that the neutron star is very compact. And we put a very compact neutron star and give an oscillation. Then, so perform simulation. And you can see that we can perform many dynamical time scale using dynamical gauge condition. So this means that with this gauge condition, coordinate distortion is sufficiently suppressed. Next topic is hydrocode. And the current trend is to use a high resolution shock capturing scheme. So this means that we adopt the approximate Riemann solver with a piecewise parabolic interpolation. This method has been extensively developed by the Valencia group in Spain and the Munich group. And now many groups working in the binary neutron star simulation is using this kind of scheme, including myself. So with this scheme, shock and oscillation are computed very accurately. So probably this is the current best choice. So using this one is the current best choice in the simulation of stellar collapse or detailed study of neutron star merger. This is a result of test simulation for hydrocode in special relativity. This is a result of a Riemann shock tubes problem. And solid line is analytical solution. And field circle is numerical results. And you can see that numerical results agree very well with the analytical solution. And this is a test result of a test simulation in the Walshock problem. Walshock problem means that we give a velocity like this. And you can also see that numerical result agree very well with the analytical solution. So next is the initial condition for binary Newton stars. Realistic initial condition for binary Newton stars should be in quasi-equilibrium because the Newton star binary evolves as a result of the radiation reaction. But the radiation reaction time scale is usually much, much longer than the orbital period. So this means that the binary Newton stars is in a quasi-equilibrium state. So we should give such binary Newton star as an initial condition for simulation. And so far, popular method to give this quasi-equilibrium state is to use a conformal flatness approximation. In the conformal flatness approximation, we assume that metric like this. So I mean that we assume that three metric is conformal flat. And we don't solve full Einstein's equation. We only solve the five component of Einstein equation for psi, beta, and alpha like this. And Einstein's equation reduces to the elliptic type equation in this case. Probably this is exact only for the spherical star, but not exact other case. So, but probably it's not so bad. Probably it's adequate for qualitative study of a merger. So for qualitative study of the binary Newton stars in quasi-equilibrium states, but not for for quantitative study, it is not likely good. Because from the post-Newtonian calculation, we can expect that the magnitude of the neglected term, so of diagonal component of the three metric, like this. So this is a three metric minus delta ij. Is from the post-Newtonian point of view, its magnitude is of order v4. V is the orbital velocity, and typical value of v square is 0.2 or something like that. So this means that the order of magnitude of V24 is about 0.1. So this means that it's very large. It's not so small. So we cannot neglect for quantitative study. So it needs better one. So, but we don't know what is a good formulation now. So we should first develop some formulation. But before getting a formulation, we should require some conditions, and I think there are two conditions to get a good formulation. First, we should remember that binary evolves as a result of gravitational radiation. This means that the energy loss rate is related to the angular momentum loss rate like this, so omega is angular velocity. So this means that along the equilibrium sequence of binary Newton stars in quasi-equilibrium state, a first law like this should be satisfied. So this means that in a good formulation, and a solution in a good formulation should satisfy this condition. Also, second one is the other one. Also, binary is in approximately stationary state. So this means that Villard relation should be satisfied, at least approximately. So here, so Villard relation means that Eden mass equal to comma-like mass. So this is not exact definition, but a skeptical definition. Anyway, so this Eden mass is defined from the three metric like this. So this is conformal factor like this. And comma mass is something like mass term of the G00 term, so like this. So in the equilibrium state, so this should be equal. So this means that in a good formulation, this equality solution in this formulation is guaranteed to be satisfied that this equality. So we have to search for formulation in which these two conditions is satisfied. But we don't know yet, anyway. And next is a different topic. So I would like to summarize the current computational resource. Before computational resource, so I like to estimate how many grid points we need. So we like to perform simulation for merger of Newton stuff. And probably initial condition should be given at the innermost stable circular orbit. This means that the orbital separation at the initial condition is about 7 or 8 or something like that, m. So in this case, gravitational wave length of this system is about 6 if r is 7m. To extract gravitational wave accurately, outer boundary should be located outside this value. So this means that L should be larger than lambda GW. So on the other hand, grid spacing should be small enough. So small enough means that it should be smaller than the about 10% of the gravitational mass of system. So so to perform accurate simulation, so we should require these two conditions. So this means that required grid number between this separation is about 300. So because we have two minus sign and plus sign, so in total, so we need to take about 600. So this means that at least we should take 600, 300 cube to perform an accurate simulation. So this is a minimum grid number, so hopefully we should get more. And in this case, memory required is about 200 gigabytes. So we need to prepare, we need to get some supercomputer in which we can use more than 200 gigabytes. But it's possible. So I like to say an example. This is many Japanese astrophysicists use a Fujitsu machine, Falcon VPP 5000. This is located at the National Astronomical Observatory of Japan. In this machine, so this machine is a vector parallel type anyway. So, and the maximum memory is about 700 gigabytes. So this is larger than 200 gigabytes. So we can take a sufficient green number in this machine. And so our typical line now is done with about 600, 300 grid points. And required memory is about 240 gigabytes. So anyway, so this means that we can take a minimum grid number with the current computational resource. But as I said before, it's not large enough. So we need to get more to perform a more accurate simulation. So hopefully we'd like to use a more powerful one, so such as a simulator, or we need to develop mesh refinement techniques. Anyway, so we can get the minimum grid number now. So this is a summary of current status. And Einstein's evolution equation solver is okay now. And we can import a good gauge condition now. Also, we have a good GR hydrodynamic equation solver now. But these are not enough. So for example, realistic initial condition in GR. So we can prepare approximately realistic initial condition, but not complete initial condition now. Also, we have a good supercomputer, but it's not large enough to get more accurate numerical result. We need to get a hypercomputer, or we need to develop a mesh refinement technique. And also, I should say that in the case of black hole formation, we need to have some special technique for handling black holes, such as excision, but this is not developed enough. So now, so I'd like to show you some numerical results. And before showing, this is my numerical result. And before showing a numerical result, let me summarize my current implementation. In my implementation, I use Nakamura Shibata homomorphism, but it's not the original one, so I have been modified year by year, and now it is sufficiently modified. And the recent modification, so I like to say that this is very crucial to improve the accuracy for angular momentum conservation and mass conservation. In a previous code, we solved this type of equation for determinant gamma. But I have found that to improve the accuracy of angular momentum conservation and mass conservation, it's better to solve this type of equation. So this is a conservative form. It's not a conservative form. We should solve the conservative form. So this is one example for modification from the original one. And now I have been using the elliptic type gauge condition previously, but I have modified to dynamical gauge condition to save the computation time. Also, now I'm using the high resolution shock capturing scheme for hydro scheme. And so initial condition is given, still given by using the conformal flatness approximation. So I think that we need to develop the better initial condition, but I still use a conformal flatness approximation. And gravitational wave is extracted using the gauge invariant values, and the typical grid size now is about 36, 20. So let me show you some numerical result. Currently, I'm using a very simple equation of state. So we give initial condition using the polytropic equation of state, and evolution is done using the gamma rho equation of state like this. Here, we choose gamma equal 2. And this is a, so I'll show you a fine model. This is the compactness of each neutron star. So in this case, so we prepare two neutron stars. Compactness is 0.14. 0.14 means that if mass of neutron star is 1.4 solar mass, radius is 15 kilometer. So this is 1.4 solar mass, 15 kilometer. And this is baryon rest mass, ratio of the baryon rest mass to the maximum mass of a spherical star. So this value means that if this is one, so this is the total mass of the system is equal to the maximum mass of a spherical star. So this means that 1.62 means that it's much higher than the maximum mass of a spherical star. So this means that it's a hypermassive system. And this is a spin parameter of the system, so J over M square. So this is a car parameter, something like that. And because this is less than unity, so all star is a candidate for formation of black hole. So also, because this is much larger than the unity, so this system is candidate for formation of black hole. And the final fate is different. So in this case, so neutron star is formed, and in the other case, black hole is formed. So in this case, mass is almost equal. In this case, neutron star is formed. In the other case, so mass is much higher. So in this case, black hole is formed. Anyway, so let me show you an animation. This is an animation for equal mass binary, but the mass is not large enough. Compactness is not large enough, so this means that the final fate is a neutron star. So anyway, so So as a result of radiation reaction, separation binary decreases and merges trigger. But in this case, total mass is not large enough. Neutron star is formed.
How
do
you see the
whole
computation
of the domain? Is that where the boundary is? This is 1/5 of the computation domain. So computation domain, outer boundary, something like that. So neutron star is formed, and but neutron star is oscillating. Oscillating neutron star is formed. So next one is an equal mass case. This is an equal mass case, and next one is an unequal mass case. In this case, mass ratio is 0.9. So this is a heavier one, and this is a lighter one. So also in this case, as a result of radiation reaction, orbital separation decrease. But in this case, smaller one is tidally disrupted to be a disk. But also in this case, the mass is not large enough. So neutron star, but very heavy neutron star is formed. Okay. So this is a evolution of the maximum density conformal factor and Laplace function, the minimum value of Laplace function and the maximum value of conformal factor. So in this case, in these two cases, neutron star is formed. This is a result for the unequal mass binary, and this is a result for equal mass binary. So merger happens around here, and after that, a very heavy neutron star is formed. But the heavy neutron star is oscillating like this and does not collapse. So final product is oscillating heavy neutron star. And this is a contour plot for the equal contour plot for the equal mass binary. This is final snapshot of the contour plot. And this is a contour plot in the XY plane. So we can see that almost spherical, not spherical, spheroidal neutron star is formed. But in the XZ plane, we can see like this. So this has a toroidal structure like this, so like this. So toroidal structure is a toroidal neutron star is the final product. This is the angular velocity as a function of the X and Y axis. And if this star is digitally rotating, angular velocity becomes something like that. So this means that in this region, it's very, very rapidly rotating. So this is the reason why such massive neutron star is supported. This is a comparison between the equal mass and unequal mass merger. So this is a final snapshot of a contour plot in the XY plane for unequal mass binary. In this case, mass ratio is 0.9. So you can see that the disk mass is much, much larger than the equal mass binary case. So then, I'd like to show you a black hole formation case. In this case, mass is slightly larger, and in this case, mass ratio is 1. Also, as a result of radiation reaction, merger is triggered. But in this case, mass is too large. As a result, black hole is formed. So this is the apparent horizon. So, and okay. So next case is mass ratio is different. In this case, mass ratio is 0.925. This is a heavier one. In this case, the lighter one is disrupted. And as a result, disk is formed. if mass space is even smaller, disk mass is even bigger. In this case, mass ratio is 0.855. Now this is a bigger one. So yeah, in this case, so smaller one is tidally disrupted completely to be a disk around the black hole. So finally, apparent horizon formed. So this is a final snapshot for the merger of equal mass. And in this case, mass outside the R equal 3m sphere is only 0.2%. So this means that the disk mass around around the black hole is very, very small in this case. But if mass ratio is smaller, disk mass is larger. In this case, so mass fraction outside the R equal 3m sphere is about 2%, but and if mass ratio is much even smaller, mass ratio, mass fraction outside the R equal 3m sphere is larger. So this is a summary for the product of merger of two neutron stars. In the equal mass case, so we can get two output. In the low mass case, so say R equal 15 kilometer for 1.4 solar mass case, hypermassive neutron star is formed. And this neutron star is oscillating, non-axiometric oscillation and almost axiometric oscillation. Anyway, so hypermassive neutron star is a product. On the other hand, in the high mass case, black hole is directly formed, and disk mass is very small in this case. But on the other hand, in the unequal mass case, say mass ratio is 90%. In this case, disk of mass several percent is likely to be formed. So in this, so this such a merger is a likely candidate for formation of black hole plus disk. This is a gravitational wave form for the case of neutron star merger. In this case, this is a gauge invariant variable with L equal M equal 2, L equal M equal 3, and L equal 2, M equal 0. And so in this case, so final product is oscillating neutron star. So as a result, of oscillation, gravitational wave is emitted. And quadrupole mode have about 2 and 2.5 kilohertz like this. This does not depend on the mass ratio much. So in either case, frequency is about 2 or 3 kilohertz. And in the unequal mass case, so we can see the another mode. So what the value of M. And what is interesting is that L equal 2, M equal 0 mode is also excited. So this is due to that final product is radially oscillating. But it's not spherical, axiometric, almost axiometric. As a result, L equal 2, M equal 0 mode is also excited. And this frequency is about 700 hertz or something like that, so fairly small. So it's very interesting. This is a Fourier spectrum of neutron star. This is a Fourier spectrum of gravitational wave for neutron star formation. And as I said, so we can see the steep peak around 2 and 3 kilohertz, like this. So finally, so let me show you that in my computation, radiation reaction is fairly accurately computed. This is a graph for ADM mass and angular momentum. And the solid line is pure ADM mass and pure angular momentum. And the dotted line is ADM mass computed, expected from the flux of gravitational wave. So I mean that we subtract the initial mass, we subtract the energy flux from the initial mass this dotted line is the result. And so in this case, it's not very good, but in this case, you can see that two curves approximately agree. So this means that the radiation reaction is fairly accurately computed in my computation. So in this case, a neutron star formation case, and in this case, a black hole formation case. In either case, angular momentum loss is agree very well. So this means that radiation reaction is fairly accurately computed in my computation. So let me summarize my talk. Anyway, so simulation are feasible to get scientific results now. And I think that numerical implementations for fundamental parts, so such as a hydro part and GR part and gauge, have been almost established, but for the absence of black hole. So in the presence of black hole, so it's not established. But in the absence of black hole, so I think that numerical implementations are almost established. And but still there are technical issues, similar technical issues. And as I said, grid number are not still large enough. So probably we need a mesh refinement technique or a hypercomputer. And in the case of black hole formation, code crashed soon after the formation of the apparent horizon. So this means that we need an excision. But to do excision, dynamical gauge may be benefit of excising. So now I'm using a dynamical gauge, so it will be much better than to use an elliptic type gauge constraint to perform an excision. And so far, I have performed the simulation using a very simple equation set, but we need to develop more, we need to incorporate the more physical equation state. But I think probably it's not very difficult, but incorporating neutron cooling is probably difficult, but anyway, so to get the more physical result, we need to incorporate the such a physics. Thank you.
Did you say how big is the black hole that's formed, for example, calculating its horizon mass?
Horizon mass is about 0.8, so just a moment. I may have a figure. About 0.8 m total mass, so it's very reasonable. So this means that the Kerr parameter of a black hole is about 0.9, so it's very reasonable value.
And so when you're looking at waveforms and frequencies, does the calculation go long enough that you see any hint of a quasi-normal mode of the final black hole?
No, so code crashed soon after the formation of apparent horizon, so I cannot do now.
So probably it's in there. If you could just continue even the perturbative side, like with a Lazarus approach or something that, you probably could get the waveform even from that calculation.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Have you done any resolution studies to see how you're resolving the shear layer that forms when the neutron stars first merge?
So you mean that some Kelvin-Holm instability or something like
right.
that? So yes, not in detail, but I can see that some vorticity happens in the shear layer in my simulation. So. Probably this is due to the Kelvin-Helmholtz instability.
The work that we did a long time ago, very, very low resolution, and also the more recent work that Razio and Josh Faber have done, if you look at your gravitational wave, this is a hard problem, but if you look at your gravitational wave spectrum, those oscillations that you get at high frequency are dependent upon the physical state of the mixed remnant.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very, very strongly determined by how you can resolve that shear layer. I suspect that you are still not in the resolution needed to be doing that problem physically because it's so difficult.
Maybe.
It's not a criticism of you, it's just that it's a very, very difficult problem.
Yeah, it's very difficult, so I agree.
But at the same time, because you've got such a big grid, I mean, I realize you couldn't get the waves out, but what you could do, though, if you can run 600 by 600 by 300, yeah. you could just use that resolution in the central region of your neutron star.
Yeah.
And you could probably do a fairly good resolution study to
yeah.
see if you're converging to the right physical state of the
yeah,
mixed remnant.
But in this case, the radiation reaction is not taken into account accurately, so...
Yeah. If you could even demonstrate, even if you could demonstrate that you're getting the hydro right,
yeah.
that would be a major achievement.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I see, okay, yeah. Please. Oh, yes.
When you showed this graph of the corrective AGM acid, it wasn't increasing amount of
time. Yeah,
yeah. Do you understand what was the source of that problem?
Pardon?
What was the source of this lack of monotonic increase?
Okay, so you mean that this disagreement?
The fact that the mass energy wasn't going down and coming.
Oh, this one? So because this is ADM mass, so mass energy, so.
But you're subtracting out the gravitational.
Yeah, gravitational wave. So this is a.
Pardon? Should that decrease monotonically?
Monotonically, yes, yes. But this oscillation.
What's it? I'm sorry, so I don't understand what the oscillation
is. So I'm not sure, but probably this oscillation period is approximately agree with the oscillation period of the neutron star.
But that's gravity mass.
Mass, but I'm not sure, so
yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
Yes.
But average value is
the mass loss should be always positive and subtracting off.
Yeah, yeah.
So it shouldn't go back up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is an integrated ADM
mass. Calculated from 3-metric. Okay.
Yes. Have you tried estimating the kick that the black or the final object, the final form object gets when the merger happens? This is a question that is always lurking around when you talk to astronomers about what happened when binary black holes collide, where there is a kick and how big that is. Joanne made a comment on that in her talk. Can you estimate in this particular case kick? In the binary neutron star?
I think it's very small. I checked, but it's very small. So probably it's very difficult to see in this figure because the mass ratio is almost equal. So mass ratio is at least 0.9. So it's very small. So I think that the kick is very small in this case.
I thought it was interesting what you showed about the difference between the equal mass case and the non-equal mass case
yeah.
and the size of the disk that formed.
Yeah.
Have you gone closer to, have you done a study of mass ratio of 1.99, 0.98? Is it a cliff? I mean, because although we think that neutron star masses are likely to be roughly 1.4, they're not 1.400000. So the general case may actually be determined by how sensitive.
I guess it's continuous. I guess it's continuous.
It would be interesting to see. You could probably determine that.
Yeah.
Is there a big drop off if you fall off of 1.0000 as your mass ratio? Do you get a significant disk? Even with maybe a 0.5 difference.
Yeah.
0.05% or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Any more questions? Greg.
Have you attempted any evolutions with the binary started further out than the ESCO so that perhaps they could go one or two orbits before?
No, but I plan.
Plan
but I need to get more computational time. So.
Okay, it would be interesting even if you can't
watch
the merger phase of it to actually watch a few orbits.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm very interested in this, but I need computational time. So.
Thank you. I just have a related question. If you you said you sort of did your checklist, and you said Einstein's equations are basically okay now. And I wonder, have you really run the code at the state where you can keep running neutron stars orbiting around each other and you just never see problems?
No.
So is the problem that you run out of computer time before your code crashes? Is that? Right, so the single neutron star, you're basically...
In this case, so I can perform. So as I show, in the case of single neutron star, so I can perform a simulation for more than 30 dynamical oscillation period or something like that.
You could go 100, or do you start running? I guess running in the long term, are you running into problems
with it? I have never done because it takes a long, long time. So, but the... this one. So, in this case, the code does not crash at this point, so we can continue the simulation much longer time scale. So in this case, the oscillation periods are about 20 or something like that. So I think it's long enough. So.
Any other questions? So I have one question, which is, in your final oscillations of your neutron star,
yeah.
Do you know, does that frequency match any of the frequencies you'd expect from the modes? Like, is it the fundamental radial mode?
I think P1 mode.
I guess
P1 mode.
Okay. Yes, okay, let's, if there are no other questions, let's thank our speaker again. And we'll meet.